Treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon & Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concept Salon & Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's couples massage package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon & Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine. Boheme Salon & Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon & Spa.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sovereign Minds! Good grief. Today is February 7th.
Yeah, good grief.
2016, and the hits just keep on coming. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and we'd like to thank all those guys over at Big O Tires for patching all of my tires this last week. I had four flats, a couple of nails. So anyway, never mind. You were listening to 1460.
Couldn't be the driver.
No,
I will second that. Those are good people.
They really are.
Big O. I've been going to Big O dating back to when I was in Medford 20 years ago.
Yeah, they're really great guys. Jay over there, man, I'll tell you what. They just fixed my my flats with it, no charge, boom, done. All you got to do is just buy your tires there. Great, great crew. Anyway, now you know, and they don't pay me to say this. They're not a sponsor. I just had to say it because I couldn't believe it. I had a flat on Linda's car, then I had a flat on the trailer, and then Linda's car had to be taken back because another tire picked up a screw, and then I got a nail in my tire on the van. It's like what?
That's keep your cars away from mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's probably the one she's probably salting the driveway with nails and
damn stuff. It. My secret's out.
It's like, whoa.
That's an old trick.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for the tip, Red.
I'm here in the studio with my abominable sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Who does all the heavy lifting, and Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. Good morning, Bob.
Happy Super Sunday.
Hey, it's Super Bowl. Yay! Yeah. And last but not least, Red Smith, who's been on a blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time and a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment.
Actually, we're not sure that's true at this point. As of last night, we're readjusting our projections.
Okay. Yeah, we're at 4.9% unemployment. Hey, come on, Chicken Littles out there. Don't worry about it. It's all good, even if you're not working, because you're not a part of this society anymore. You're considered a phantom apparition. So just, you know, go back under the bridge with your shopping cart and just pretend you're employed.
I got my blended glide path for Dutch Brothers this morning.
We are streaming worldwide. Go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. The Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview, Destiny Fellowship. But that's changing. We're going to be moving to another building, I think, here pretty soon.
Yeah, we're not
sure. That is breaking news.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
We're there for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're there till March, I believe.
I believe so, because, well, they sold the church. So, you know, we have to make other arrangements. And so the Tea Party will still be meeting every Monday night, and it still stands for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. And I think on Monday
we have Steve Baird.
Steve Baird will be coming
the
in.
Future California senator for District 1.
Yeah, what is no gain, less pain? Is
yeah. What is the other guy's name? If anybody knows the name of the current California senator that Steve Baird's running against, call us and let us know. We can't seem to remember it.
It's kind of like Bigfoot. We just keep finding signs of him, but we never see him.
Yeah, we find scat. That's about it.
There's no body.
Yeah, we find scat and a couple of footprints.
Do we have any veterans events, sis?
Oh, we do. On February 11th at 8:45 a.m. at Parsons Junior High. They will be having an appreciation breakfast for the veterans out there. They put on an excellent program, so go out there and show your support if you can. Also, Missing in America Project is having a garage sale on March 4th and 5th. If you would like to donate items, you can drop them off on March 2nd and 3rd at Travis House, which is 1440 Lavender Way. We'll gladly accept them. Or you can come to the office of Missing in America Project and drop them off at 6900 Danier Street in Reading. And, again, that's going to be March 4th and 5th. And, of course, we have the gun show coming on March 5th and 6th.
Wow.
Patrick Jones is putting that on. So, again, that's going to be March 5th and 6th. Come out and show your support. Maybe buy some guns and things like that. And then we shall be having tickets here shortly. We will be doing a raffle for some weapons.
We got the rancher man in the chat room, Ted. Who? Yeah.
So stay tuned on that. We will be having a drawing. We will probably have three different types of rifles or guns, and you'll be able to take your pick of the litter if you're the first place winner, and then second and third. So, yeah, a lot of good things coming on.
Yeah,
so
I believe we were looking at a AR chambered in 5.56 and a 270 Ruger long gun and a Benelli tactical shotgun, I believe.
Yeah, 12-gauge.
12-gauge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll actually have three winners. Take your pick.
Yeah, and you can all, and the way we're setting it up, you can actually be a winner of all three of the guns. So, yeah. So those tickets should be coming here shortly.
Wow.
And we are entering the fun time of year here in Shasta County. You know, cool April nights will be coming and lots of different events, and it's still cool enough that you don't go up like a Vietnamese Buddhist monk due to the heat. And it's probably my favorite time of year here in Shasta is, you know, you get all of those early spring events and all the fun stuff going on. And yeah, it's not too hot to go do it.
Yeah. And, you know, get your gun while you can.
There you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it. Well, let's see. There's so many headlines here.
Yeah, where to start?
Yeah, it's like where to start. I mean, I guess we'll start with the Chicken Little one because this one, I mean, I don't know who this guy is. Tim Mullaney. He wrote this story for Market Watch, the Wall Street Journal publication. And it's titled Opinion, Chicken Little Investors, Please Read the Jobs Report. The U.S. isn't headed for a disaster, not with 4.9% unemployment. Now, You know, really? Where did this guy come from? He came from, straight from Keynesian School of Economics that bases their opinions on complete irrational exuberance of unreality and financial data that is completely skewed and doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. The market strategists are saying the market strategists are saying this guy is falling. Economists say, relax, everything is fine.
Yeah, tell to the 51% of the people out there on welfare assistance.
We got 90.
Okay. In Mr. Mulaney's defense, if these economists are attempting to create a world global crisis in order to usher in a one world currency, things are fine.
Perfect. You know, and it says it's just, you know, unbelievable that anybody could write something as idiotic as this. It's kind of like the idiot in chief at the prayer breakfast telling us everything's fine. You know, everything's fine. Give me all your money. Everybody be happy. Really?
But like Robert said, if your agenda is what we know his agenda is, it is fine for him. It's
if
great.
If he's a globalist, things are right on track for him.
Yeah. You other can't ask for better.
You other 93 million people out there you know, that are unemployed and have given up looking, you do not exist anymore. Mm-mm. You do not exist anymore. I'm trying to, you know, it's the presidential Jedi mind trick. You know, he watched Star Wars and he just goes, I am making all the data up. I will make all the data up.
You're not really hungry. You're not homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
You really aren't.
Yeah.
Just trust me.
Now, you know, and then he goes on to say, for investors, the question is very straightforward. Are you a Trump or an Obama? This question is without temperament, not is about temperament, not politics. Hold on. Okay, listen to this sentence. This is about temperament, not politics. Trump, in this telling, is a metaphor for the tendency in politics to turn a number of U.S. Ebola cases countable on your hands into a pandemic. While, on the other hand, Obama is a metaphor for the tendency to look at data calmly and make decisions based on what's actually happening. hold on.
I'm not even sure what to say to that.
Obama is a metaphor for the tendency to look at data calmly and make decisions based on what's actually happening?
Well, even your choice of individuals for your metaphor... who's been successful economically and who hasn't?
Right now, everybody's dumping.
I mean, if we wish to calmly look at the data about who is successful financially, you're going to have to go with Trump on that one.
Well, no, because Obama steals. I guess it's okay if you steal everything.
Well, Trump probably didn't build that anyways.
Didn't do it by himself.
Yeah.
He had help.
We're up to $1.3 billion in vacations with Obama. I think he's winning. You know, he's like, winning.
Well, okay, if you count the amount of taxpayer money that he spent on nonsense as income, okay, maybe he is winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go by his numbers, it's all good.
He's like Charlie Sheen, winning right before he gets AIDS.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops. Yeah, I guess that little disease that's going to kill me doesn't really matter because, you know, I'm winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like unbelievable the way these guys spin and, you know, they don't look at data. And, of course, that wasn't political. That wasn't political saying Trump is a metaphor for turning a number of Ebola cases countable on your hands into a pandemic. That's not political, is it?
Well, there's no data to support what this guy is saying. There's piles of data in the opposite direction.
I know! It's
the fact that California overnight is now running a budget deficit due to the collapse of the stock market and the coming collapse of the economy again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at headlines. Indicators show collapse of the paper and gold and silver markets may be close at hand. Citi sounds the alarm. World economic and death spiral. U.S. dollar has suffered one of the sharpest drops in 20 years. 22 signs that the global economy turmoil we have seen in 2016 is just the beginning. Yeah, those are all really positive headlines from all kinds of different sources, not just one.
Well, it's really simple. you're being a Chicken Little. Just look out the door at the economic growth that we are experiencing, especially here in Reading. Look at all the new jobs and businesses that have opened.
This is going straight towards the Venezuela's economy. That's it's just exploding with opportunity. You know, in the meantime, three dozen 747 cargo planes have arrived in Venezuela, all stuffed with newly printed money.
While the economic boom continues. I heard about that. That's actually to stuff in pinatas for people to break during Carnival.
Yeah, that's good. And I'll tell you what, it's really good for their dollar. It's really good for their currency because then, you know, you can use it for lots of things like lighting a fire in the evening when you're cold. Mm-hmm. You can use it for confetti in parades. You could use it for insulation in your cardboard wall.
Yeah, a couple of layers of some good Venezuelan banknotes, and probably nice and toasty.
Yeah, it'll be just like Germany again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, take a wheelbarrow of notes down to the store to get yourself a loaf of bread. Everything will be good.
Hey, but that could never happen here, could it? No. Because
why not?
Because we defy all rules and all laws of economic turmoil.
Because Obama says it's good.
Because
everything's okay.
That's right. While Nero's up there talking about how great the economy is.
But haven't we had a Great Depression before where there was lots of people out of work and soup kitchens and things like that?
That's just old history.
I don't remember that. That's too far back.
Yeah, that's old history. That doesn't really count.
They didn't have Obama.
Actually, the numbers for homeless and soup kitchens and things like that are worse than they were in the Great Depression.
Well, I know.
It's just become normal to us.
Yeah.
It's the new normal.
Yeah, don't those people walking back on the sidewalk and gathering more people fool you? I mean, they're just out for a stroll.
Here's the quote for Sunday from Raleigh Sally. The time is near at hand which must determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves. Now, that was George Washington back in the day. And I'm thinking, hey, that's pretty applicable today.
Is that multiple choice?
Yeah, no, it's not like Wheel of Fortune or what's the other one? Family Feud. You know,
can I get
and
a
the top answers are
really how many economic indicators do you need in order to understand that you're in a global economic depression, soon to be followed by a catastrophe and a crisis? You know, what's the number one answer? Obama said it's only 4.9%.
Well, there is a way out of it, is there not?
Yeah, start telling the truth. Yeah, start.
You can't do that.
Become once again financially independent and as an independent entity.
Yeah. Well, there's several things that need to happen here. We need to take back, and I'm going to talk more about this. I have some solutions, but we need to take back the narrative. We need to get guys involved in taking back these little seats of power across the board. You know, when we get to the state of Jefferson, it's going to be about, you know, getting individualists in power who are going to go back to the Constitution and go back to self-reliance instead of the government taking care of you. How's this government plan been working for everybody out there? You know, the government taking care of you from womb to tomb. You know, look at how many people it's taking care of out there right now. Doing really well. Oh, but they don't exist anymore. They're like
no,
they're like,
they don't.
They're like
gone.
They're like ghost people.
Yeah.
You know, go back to your tent and shut up.
Yeah, they're no longer part of the labor force to be counted anyways.
Yeah, it used to be they were in Hooverville. Now they're in Obamaville.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to, you know, it's like what's that old Jimmy Buffett song? Wasted away again in Obamaville.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to play that one. I think there was actually a song that says that. Anyway.
There is a spoof of Margaritaville to that effect.
Anyway, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back and regroup and talk about other things. And I think we have some guests today, but I'm not sure.
Well, I know we do at the 11 o'clock hour. We have Tom Fenton from Judicial Watch coming on, but I'm not sure about the other one, so we'll just have to, you know, do what we do.
We'll do that voodoo that we do so well.
So if you want to call in and you have something you want to discuss or you have a comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State. I'm in this war, but got no gun. Still standing strong, an army of one. So sign me up. I'm a soldier.
of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only. The views and opinions...
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Reading's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I grew up green, being a cowboy, and loving the cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my high-riding egos, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the latest release. The words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves, and their slow moving.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in here at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567, or get onto the chat room at KCNR1460.com. We have a caller on the line.
We do. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day, and I hate to ruin it for you. Okay, my topic is Burns, Oregon. the coming police state. In fact, I think it already is. My sources being on Facebook and talking with people involved. You probably know that the airport, such as it is, it's not a major airport, obviously, in Burns, has been commandeered by the feds, and they're flying in equipment. My source tells me that the Black Hawk helicopters are overhead, and everybody is searched. Ranchers, farmers are searched continuously up there.
That's a free state.
Anyway.
Hey, that's a free state. I said that's a free state, isn't it?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the governor, it's funny how they're named Brown in California.
I know.
Oregon. It's like, what the heck?
That's creepy.
Right. In addition to the police state, you probably know, Red, there is a cell phone blackout in the area.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, gee, that bodes well.
Friend of mine has gone on Facebook yesterday, and the stuff was on there about what's happening in Burns in the morning was no longer on in the afternoon. On Facebook, there was a fine picture of the memorial to Lavoie.
Yes.
A lot of flowers, etc. It was taken down in a little over a day. Cleaned up, you would never know it was there, including the cross that was fashioned. Know of a family who have moved their children to another state in anticipation of what's coming down, and that would be the protest Friday the 12th in Burns, and it's supposed to be a big one, as I understand, a lot of people with horses, logging trucks, etc. So, and hopefully we will do our own protest in sympathy with them, and I'm sure Sally and Terry will give us some info on that. Red, the gun trace, the gun that supposedly Levoy was packing.
Uh-huh.
The paper there, I think, and you would know better than I, asked for and finally demanded the serial numbers of the gun. Then one of the peacekeepers or promise keepers or whatever traced the serial number of that gun, and it had been stolen 2 years before out of Portland.
Yeah, we've been told that several times. I have been trying to confirm it.
And so you haven't been able to confirm that yet, huh?
No. And for me, confirm it means actually call the Department of Justice up there in Oregon or one of the police agencies or the Deschutes County Major Investigation Unit that's handling this and get that serial number directly from them and run it down myself. I have not been able to get a reply out of any of those agencies. I can't get a call back.
Imagine my surprise.
So,
imagine my surprise.
I've had what you said confirmed by a great many people, but before I make it as a public statement, I want to hear that serial number out of their mouth themselves.
I thoroughly agree with you.
I do know that
I'm going to change them. I'm stealing a page from Mark Baird's book. He did it a couple years ago. Open carry, my 22 pistol holster, open carry, and it will have the Constitution in it. And so that's why I think you mentioned on the last program we had to be carrying our Constitution, or pocket constitutions. We all need to do that because I think that'll be our passport or probably our ID number in the police state. We'll probably have to mention that. I think that's all of it. What really keep my put my stomach in knots yesterday was when I was told that one family had moved the kids to another state in anticipation of what's coming down. So it's scary.
Well, that's all very true. You're having to go through federal checkpoints to get into town, to get out of town. There are Black Hawk helicopters. There's been Apache gunships sighted. There's drones overhead. There's a continuing buildup to this presence. And most people are going, wait a minute, we thought this operation was in mop-up phase. Why is there this escalation of personnel and resources going on in Harney County?
Yep. So we agree as usual. Your source is more defined and better than mine. But what I've had, we agree. So anyway, thank you very much for a great program as usual, and hopefully more people will begin to wake up. Oh yes, did you mention our friends from Homeland Security were so nice to us?
Oh, Friday, at the
we had our demonstration.
Yeah, the Raleigh. Yeah, they're in front of the courthouse.
I'll sign off. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, we didn't mention it, but it's worth mentioning, and because it shows that they're monitoring everyone and everything. I mean, and that's what the police state does, and it's going to get ugly before it gets better. That's for sure. But we've got to stop being. I've got a little thing here. It says what we've got to do. Is, this is, again, a strategy from G. Edward Griffin. And, we've got to quit chasing after each little individual issue. There are so many important issues to deal with, even if we win a victory, our freedom is not going to be secure because the same issue keeps returning. Gun control, for example. We win over and over and over again, but it keeps coming back to try to defeat us because we don't,
keep following through.
No. What it is this, okay? The underlying problem is that the power centers of society remain firmly in the hands of collectivists. And as long as that condition remains, we can never succeed in the long run. Focusing on issues is like treating the symptom instead of ignoring the cause. We're like firefighters trying to put out hundreds of fires in an insane, set by an insane arsonist. We run here, we run there, back and forth with hoses and buckets, fighting one fire after another. But there are more fires than we can count. 5 new fires are started for every one we put out. And we are constantly losing ground while, our beautiful city is being destroyed. We will never make headway until we find the arsonist and put him out of business. Any effort that ignores the arsonist is doomed to failure. What we have to, accept and come to terms with is the collectivists are the world's political arsonists. They ignite new totalitarian programs because they can. They do it easily because they hold the positions of power. At present, individualists do not have comparable power, and without those power, they cannot defend freedom. So what is our course of action? Shall we follow the follow other organizations and become crusaders on specific issues? Shall we call for an end to the income tax, return to a value-based money, withdraw from the UN, return to basics in education, stop illegal immigration, oppose gun control, reform Social Security, rein in the NSA, end aggressive wars with hidden agendas? All of these and thousands of other issues cry out for immediate attention, but for us to take on any of them would be to open the door for all of them. Soon we would be so inundated with urgent calls to action that most members would give up and give in despair, especially when it is, it eventually is realized that because we not hold the sufficient power, this effort makes little difference anyway. Nothing is going to change until the collectivists who now dominate the power centers of society are replaced by individualists. Now, I'm going to read that again. Nothing is going to change until the collectivists who now dominate the power centers of society are replaced by individualists.
Well, if you think about it, I think our founding fathers would be disgusted with us.
I believe so, yeah.
They revolted against the British Empire, but they had not the tools that would have been provided in the Constitution. They had literally no representation. They didn't have bad representation. They had none. We still have the power to elect our representatives. They didn't have the right to petition their governors or their political masters. We have so much more freedom than our founding fathers had, and we refuse to exercise it.
Well, it's true. You know, and this article goes on to say, how do we acquire power of our own? The answer lies in the simple fact that those who have no agenda except to be guardians of freedom must become influential in the power centers of society. Power centers are the groups and organizations that provide leadership for the major segments of the population and thereby influence the public policy. These are political parties, labor unions, church organizations, media centers, schools, universities, civic and professional organizations, and many more. Political parties are obviously important, but they're not enough by themselves. Even if we have strong pro-freedom candidates, they cannot be elected if voters don't resonate with their principles. Only unity among many power centers can create the popular support needed. We know this strategy works because it has already succeeded. The formula was worked out long ago by the very forces of collectivism we must replace. It is a mechanism by which less than 1% of the population can lead the other 99. All we need to do is now apply it to our own mission. That does not mean we must embrace our opponent's ethics. While admiring the brilliance of the strategy, we reject the use of lies, bribery, theft, blackmail, murder, and all the other forms of coercion and deceit. In spite of current fuzzy thinking about democracy and self-rule, the reality is that few will always lead the many. The American Revolution held up to the world as the example of a common man rising up against the British. It is a myth. The revolution was led by a group of intellectuals and statesmen who controlled the power centers of the colonies. They were leaders within colonial government, and they were the landowners and the merchants who owned the printing press. American independence was won by courage and sacrifice of common soldiers, but the soldiers were led by a small group of men who dominated the colonial system. That is how it has always been throughout history, and that is the way it will always be. It's just a question of which minority will lead. That is our challenge today. Who will lead? Will it be the minority of collectivists, or the minority of individualists? Unless we wake up to the reality of power and become mobilized within the power centers of society, it will be the collectivists who rule forever. Now, we need to start getting involved in these power centers and take it back, get elected, you know, get influential, get control of the press, the freedom, the news outlets. That's what we have to do. And, we resolve to meet the enemy on the battlefield, the real battlefield, in the power centers of society. We intend to reclaim the ground. Excuse me, in a reversal of the process by which was lost. That is why, we need to not pursue hot-button issues and projects, although as members we are encouraged to work with those who do. By producing the principles of to all activist groups, we strive to build unity within the movement. That's what we need to do, is keep building unity within all of these scattered and fragmented organizations. That's why the powers that be want to divide and conquer everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, do we have a caller on the line?
We do. We have Billy Bob from Palo Cedro on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys. Great show as usual. What can we do? Well, I've got a solution, and it's way past reelecting these idiots. There's no win there. But the thing is. And especially with this episode in Oregon, this is absolutely ridiculous and should be absolutely dismissed by the American people. And the way we can do it, along with all these other things that are funded with government money, we just got to quit paying our taxes. I mean, absolutely defund these hoodlums. Get rid of them, defund them. If they put a lien on your house, so what?
Right.
Who cares? You have to. You got to sell your house to pay the lien. So just everybody defund these guys. Let them fly their Black Hawk helicopters with no money. And when they run out of fuel, what are they going to do? So anyway, I get every time I listen to you guys, I get more frustrated. And I'm sorry to be so vehement, but we just got to defund them. Everybody quit paying their taxes, including their personal property taxes in town with all these swindled politicians that run around here with big money. So anyway, talk to you later. Great show.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
I believe our task is to promote a wider appreciation for the ideology of individualism, to prepare our members to counter the tactics of these collectivists, to teach techniques of organizational work, and to assist each other to become effective leaders within national and community organizations, not just our organizations, but other organizations as well. We do not wait for the world to come to us. We go to the world, into the power centers where the people already are. We support their work. We offer assistance. We seek influence by accepting the responsibility of leadership, and that's really the key.
Well, and I agree with Billy Bob. Don't comply.
Right.
Hold these guys to the color of the law by refusing to comply with illegal laws.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
If it is against the Constitution, you have a right under the 10th Amendment to ignore that law. Marbury versus Madison, even though there's some things in there that were not correct, such as the Supreme Court deigning itself as the arbitrator of the Constitution.
Right. Yeah, it gave itself more power.
But in that decision, clearly stated that any law that is opposite of the Constitution or the intent of the Constitution is void. It's not a valid law. You don't need a Supreme Court decision. You don't need that. It is automatically void.
Well, that's what Madison talked about. Is the states? What's the word I'm looking for? I'm drawing a blank here, but.
Well, the states are supreme in their jurisdiction, and if that power is not reserved to the state, it is reserved to you, the individual.
Nullification. That's what I'm talking about. Nullification. And nullification means not just the state not complying, which you're starting to see across the board. You're starting to see, you know, for example, Texas saying, hey, you know, we're not going to accept all these refugees. We're not. So right. It's really about, you know, getting into these centers, these individualists who say, no, mm-hmm. We will not comply, whether it's at the state, local, whatever level
but,
it is.
But that's our job to do that. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be stewards of our own country. Correct.
Well, I'd like to ask a question. You know, I know a lot of people that are quite ready to take up arms, head to Oregon, head to the Red River Valley in Texas, things like that, and make that kind of stand against the government. But are you willing to run for office? Are you willing to help someone that's going to take this back, get into office? Are you willing to make phone calls and knock doors for them?
Right.
Are you willing to do the real work?
I was going to say, actual work and get out there
To be honest, taking up arms is the lazy way out.
Well, it's not going to work either. They're just going to.
It's an ugly solution.
Yeah, it's not the way to win the battle, or win the war. You might even win a battle, but you'll never win the war. You've got to get public support, or public people in these position of public policy that are making policy. I mean, you know, you look at our local
defund
city council
and take their money away from them. You take their money away, you take their power away.
Well, even if you take up arms and you manage to win, you still have to establish a government that you're going to have to run for it to run right.
Right.
So wouldn't it be easier to take the reins of power now?
Well, look at the state of Jefferson, for an example. It's great if we split the state. It is a new start. But if we don't put individuals in office and cultivate the culture of individualism and freedom and constitution and following the Constitution, mm-hmm. we'll end up right back where we are here. So that's the key. You got to get people in the positions of power in whatever state that you're in whatever country that you're in, you know, to take back the narrative and support individualism and self-reliance. And, you know, with that, the economy will, flourish because people will start actually doing things as opposed to sitting around waiting for their check from the government.
And you have to start at the local level. We have to slowly work our way up here.
Just think about city council here. If we replace three out of those five city council members, we would control the city council here, and we could actually turn this thing around right here in Reading, which we're going to have to do if we get the state of Jefferson, because, you know, if we get the state of Jefferson and we vote those same five guys back into office, guess what?
Are the same type of five people.
Well, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
You know? So we've got to get into these positions of power and start dictating. You know, it's like the sheriff. I mean, I like Tom Bosenko. He's a good guy. But he doesn't support the Constitution in all of its aspects. He supports Second Amendment, but he takes federal money on the drug thing because he doesn't believe that.
He supports the Second Amendment as dictated by the state of California. And the
right.
state of California continually operates in direct conflict
well,
to the Second Amendment.
It's like the sheriff up in Oregon. You know, he supports the state you know, and the feds, instead of throwing them out of the county. You know, he should throw these guys right out of the county. Now, I don't know what Tom will do because it hasn't happened, but I suspect, well, maybe it already has happened because we've had federal money coming in here.
And
I haven't seen any of these feds getting thrown out of here.
Do you think a fight might arise over the Klamath Dam removal?
That's what I'm talking about. So, anyway, let's go to a break.
All right. Again, if you want to call in and talk with us on different subjects, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
And they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon & Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concept Salon & Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's couples massage package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon & Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine's. Boheme Salon & Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon & Spa.
I'm excited about Second Tuesday Dinner in February because we are going to the Cottonwood Eatery located in historic downtown Cottonwood.
That's right. With old-fashioned country hospitality, hometown food made from scratch and served up with the right amount of love and attention.
I love the friendly community feel, the branch-style food, and the amazing desserts.
Please join us at the Cottonwood Eatery on Tuesday, February 9th as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. It's a familiar name, but a new voice. Ron Largent, what's going on?
Well, we're going to talk about real estate, all aspects of real estate. We're going to kind of expand what we've been doing over the last couple of years with Kurt, and Kurt will be on the show. But in addition, we're going to talk a lot about community events, what's going on in our community. It's going to be a very interesting show, lots of guests, and we're going to invite our listeners to be part of it and call in. We're going to hear a lot about the community.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. with Ron Largent's Real Estate and Community Events, KCNR 1460.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome the Record Searchlight managing editor Carol Ferguson and her guest as we talk about what's happening with the Record Searchlight, what's the future for print media, and what are their big stories they're working on. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You want to start a fire? It only takes a spark. You gotta get behind the wheel if you're ever gonna drive that car. If you wanna take a bite, you better have the teeth. You wanna take that step and get up off of your knees. Cause tonight,
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567, or get onto the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Speaking of politicians, I kind of want to talk about our esteemed Congressman Doug LaMalfa a little bit here. I got a missive from him. You know, I'm on his wire service or whatever, his newsletter. On Tuesday, the House passed H.R. 3662, the Iran Terror Finance Transparency Act, with his support. This measure restricts the administration from lifting sanctions on Iranian financial institutions and individuals until it is proven that they are not connected with known terrorist organizations. Now, that sentence right there just makes the hair on the back of my freaking neck stand up. Because what do you mean until they are proven to be connected? They are a terrorist organization!
I have another problem with that, too. They already lifted the sanctions.
I'm getting there. Iran has been designated as a state sponsor of terrorism since 1984. So what are you talking about? Why did you give this guy any money at all? You know, like this is a good thing. Oh, we passed some bill, and I love the name of it, the Iran Terrorist Finance Transparency Act. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, good grief.
How about the executive branch financial terrorism transparency?
Why don't? Where were they at last year on the omnibus bill when they all? Sorry, you almost had to beat me. Take a deep breath. When they all funded it, when they all voted for it, where the hell were you then? Good grief.
How about we cut off funds to the executive branch until they quit funding
terrorism?
Yeah,
with the power of the purse, you freaking weasel chicken.
Easy.
Well, it's true. You know, we haven't even gotten to mentioning the fact that TPP passed in the night.
We're getting there. I got to calm down here, though. Take some
deep breaths. We're at the top of the hour, so we're going to have to pick up this conversation on the other side. This has been Sovereign Mind. You've been listening to this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
More Sovereign Minds ahead on KCNR's Shasta Ready.
News this hour from townhall.com. I am Michael Harrington. The UN Security Council is holding an emergency meeting on the North Korean rocket launch this morning. Japan and its Western allies are demanding swift adoption of tough new sanctions against Kim Jong-un's regime for violating UN resolutions. Japan's UN ambassador says the missile passed over Japan this morning and landed near the Philippines, posing, quote, a clear threat to the lives of many people. The men and women who would be president campaigning in New Hampshire today ahead of Tuesday's first-in-the-nation primary. Jeb Bush says it's too early to say who will get the GOP nomination.
We need to unite behind the candidate. I just think it's going to be me, to be honest with you, because I think I have the proven record, solid, consistent, conservative record.
He spoke to Fox News on Sunday. Polls indicate Donald Trump is leading on the GOP side, with Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz not far behind. Over on the Democratic side, a big lead in the polls for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. Senators and their staffs have been talking throughout the weekend, searching for a way to save a wide-ranging energy reform bill. Capitol Hill correspondent Linda Kenyon reports.
The energy bill failed to cross a procedural hurdle on Thursday over a dispute about aid to Flint, Michigan to deal with its water contamination crisis. Michigan's two senators have been pushing a $600 million aid package for Flint. The money would go toward infrastructure improvements as well as research and education on lead poisoning. The energy bill may remain blocked until the Flint issue is resolved. The energy legislation is the first major energy policy overhaul in the U.S. in decades. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Rescuers continue to pull survivors out of the ruins of a high-rise apartment building in Taiwan today. The government and the city of Tainan says more than 170 people have been rescued from the rubble of the 17-story building toppled by an overnight earthquake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-539-1900. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-539-1900. 800-539-1900. That's 800-539-1900.
Protests against Turkey in Iraq's northern Kurdish region turned violent today, with three police officers wounded. Hundreds of protesters gathered outside the United Nations compound in the northern city of Erbil, calling for an end to Turkish airstrikes against Kurdish militants. Turkey began launching those airstrikes in Iraq and Syria in July of 2015 as part of the U.S.-led coalition's fight against ISIS. In Syria, it has targeted the ISIS group, while in Iraq, it's taken aim at the Kurdish Workers' Party. A former top advisor says the late Margaret Thatcher would have supported the proposed deal outlined this past week to keep Britain inside the 28-nation European Union. Longtime Thatcher aide Charles Powell says that Thatcher did not have much enthusiasm for the EU, but wanted to fix it, not leave it. The fight for Conservative Party icon Thatcher's mantle is important to British Prime Minister David Cameron. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. About 300 guitars are heading to auction in New York City, including instruments associated with Eric Clapton, Elvis Presley, and Eddie Van Halen.
Also on tap at Guernsey's sale February 27th are acoustic guitars from the late 1800s and one played by actor Robert Blake in the film In Cold Blood. Among the top highlights is a 1952 Gibson made for the late studio guitarist Tony Mottola, which could fetch as much as $80,000 to $100,000. There are actually two In Cold Blood guitars, one used by Blake in the role of killer Perry Edward Smith, and another owned by Smith. The guitars are being offered as a set for an estimated $150,000 to $200,000. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 7th. It is the 38th day of 2016. On this date in history, 1940, Walt Disney's second animated feature, Pinocchio, premiered in New York City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall.
but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're back. Well, it's the
second hour.
Yeah, there you go. We need to say that in unison. Anyway, this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. And I believe we have a caller on the line.
We do. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Hey, sissy. Happy belated birthday.
Same to you.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Mark? How are you
We're
feeling,
doing
buddy?
Good.
I feel good. I'm starting to get a pretty good mat
on.
Yeah,
you sound great.
Oh, thanks.
Just don't drive your car anywhere. You get a flat tire.
Well, yeah, exactly.
How are you doing, Red?
I'm doing.
Hey, good program this morning, buddy.
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to kind of touch on what you guys were talking about in the last segment. I think you hit two things that really are right on and are solutions. One is Billy Bob in his own way talking about not complying, but the other thing that Red was talking about I thought was really important, and I think he made some really good points. And the really good point is that we need to be finding people who want to run for office and people who are willing to get out there and do that. Red made a great point about that, and I want to bring up a few of the people that are, because I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in the whole time I've been involved in political world. But we have Janet Chandler, who's running for District 3.
As
supervisor in Shasta County. She is totally pro the state of Jefferson and what the people want and following the Constitution. We have Stephen Baird, who's running for state senate against Ted Gaines. And believe me, the Gaines office knows who he is. He's getting gathering some very good strength and followings down in the lower counties, Nevada, Placer, et cetera. He is running on the platform of the state of Jefferson. In fact, he said that, you know, he'd love to be fired so he could go to the state of Jefferson and create an environment for his family and his posterity and all the people who want to have a free state in the United States. There's Gary Cadd, who's running here for city council. Gregory Cheadle, who was at the rally on Friday, had some pretty outspoken things to say. Gregory's running for Congress. Joe Montez out of Butte County is running for Congress also against Doug LaMalfa. He's out of Butte County. In fact, he's going to be at the Tea Party. Sally will probably put that on the chat room here in a minute so you guys can have the date. I don't have it. I'm in a different room than her. Also, Doug Wright is running against Doug LaMalfa. He's from Shasta County. Gary Bradford, a wonderful guy. Sally just yelled to me February 15th, so that's when Joe Montez will be there at the Tea Party speaking, running again against Doug LaMalfa. Also, Gary Bradford is running for supervisor down in Yuba County. He is a wonderful guy, totally a 1,000,000% state of Jefferson guy. He is a very strong constitutionalist and a good man. Susie Pierce, who's a rancher, rancherette, I guess you could say. She's up with her fiance right now, I believe, still in Burns.
Yeah.
She owns a ranch, a large ranch in Plumas County. She's running for supervisor in Plumas County, again, a patriot. And Louise Gallego is weighing the fact that she might be throwing her hat in the ring, running for city council up in Wairika. So there are a lot of people who are running for office, and I think that we need to find those people who we believe in and stand behind them and support them.
There's also Rob Oakley, who's going to be running for supervisor in Trinity County.
Yes, he is. That's right. Rob the last I heard, he wasn't totally sure, but he was really leaning that way. But you're right. Rob Oakley would be fabulous in Trinity County.
Yeah, the last conversation I had with him, he said he'd be going down this next week to file his paperwork.
Outstanding, Red. You know, those are some of the things we have to look at. And Red, you were so right. I mean, if you're willing to go pack your rifle up to Burns, why aren't you willing to run for some sort of office? And I think you're right. You know, we have to pursue that avenue. And Mark, what folks were saying and what Billy Bob said about noncompliance is so true. But, you know, the bottom line is the state of Jefferson is the silver bullet. I mean, we could coin our own money. there's a myriad of things we could do and hold the federal government at arm's length. Remember that nasty little thing, those two things that the government doesn't want to talk about. One is nullification, and two is the equal footing doctrine. It scares the hell out of them.
Well, it should, yeah. And that's what we need, you know, like I say. And mostly what I'm also saying is this is a long-term commitment for everybody to be involved at the levels of local, state, you know, county, city, state government, in the state of Jefferson as well, because we can't just, you know, ignore this. You know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We have to teach this to our kids and our grandkids so this continues down through our posterity, understanding the tenets of freedom. I mean, some of these people have been so dumbed down that, you know, you ask them who fought the Revolutionary War, and you know, they don't have a clue.
Yeah. They can even answer that.
Which war was that?
Yeah.
So that's my point, is this is an ongoing educational, get involved, start getting into these policy seats so that we can turn this around and get back to the Constitution and liberty.
Yeah, this is a long-term commitment. And this isn't something to, you know, do it now and be good for a couple of days. This is a long-term commitment, lifetime.
Well, because the alternative is slavery and economic. The alternative is what we're getting. Does everybody want to see these tent cities underneath the bridges? And does everybody want to see that there's no opportunity for the kids, you know, that they have to move out of the area? And pretty soon there won't be any areas to move to. You know, Putin even said that everybody knows that socialism doesn't work. This is the president of Russia, you know, saying that socialism doesn't work. Everybody knows that. And here we are in America trying to, you know, reframe this experiment like it's going to end well. And it's already ending badly. Yeah, feel the burn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I would say
that we're already in slavery.
Absolutely.
We're already there. I mean, you pretty much, folks are out there looking at this thing. We are in slavery. We are under the yoke. The gun laws, the gas laws, the fire tax, the environmental laws, the wolves coming out like Mark was talking about this morning. I mean, all these regulations. Yes, I mean, when we did the rally on Friday, here's Homeland Security parked there watching us stand and peacefully protest on a corner. What's that all about? You know, and where was our sheriff who should have been standing there to make sure that we were protected from the government?
Well, you know, people, you know, that are working for the government are like the house slaves back in the Civil War. You know, you had your field hands who didn't have it so good, you know, and then you had your house slaves that served tea and everything, and it was a lot more comfortable. And that's what I akin to some of these government guys. Mm-hmm. They're slaves. They're still slaves, but they're getting a good paycheck. You know,
they do have a little bit of comfort. Think they do.
They're the comfortable couch.
They're the comfortable couch setters. Exactly. Yeah. At the same time, as time goes by, they're not going to be even comfortable either, or a lot less comfortable, because the economy's tanking. CalPERS is going to get hit. You've got so many things happening, and in the meantime, you got some idiot from the Wall Street Journal telling you that the Obama deals in reality and facts. I mean, so it's going to get tougher, and it's going to get worse, but you're right, Terry. Slavery is the ability is the control of your life, and not just from, you know, where you can travel and what you need to do, but also from a financial standpoint, withholding. I mean, how many people are getting paid, and a third of it goes straight to this big overblown government down there in Washington so that they can steal your money and then use it against you?
Well, name me one thing that we are free to do, that we absolutely are free to do, that we can just go do it.
Well, not only
with no regulation, no.
Every day, it's like, okay, how are they going to get me today? Terry said this. Okay, am I going to have to pay a license fee? Am I going to get a ticket? You know, do I have to pay my registration,
That's
property taxes?
Yeah.
You know, my withholding. You know, how much are they taking? I can't own a firearm. At what point in time do you wake up and go, there's a problem here? Or is it because I'm sitting in my little cush government office, you know, being bought off by the powers that be, you know, and pretending that I'm somehow for liberty and freedom?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What do we have freedom to do? We really don't have freedom to do anything, because they've got some kind of regulation or law on us that we have to abide by in order to take out that transaction, so to speak.
The thing that really blows my mind is that, you know, people are saying, well, you know, we haven't reached the slavery point. Yes, we have. Think about all the city council meetings. I mean, here these guys are sitting in those nice, big, comfortable chairs sitting up there. We have to walk up, stand on a podium. We're allowed to give our employees 3 minutes of what we think. were allowed to go ahead and stand in front of them. Most people get up there and thank them for the opportunity to speak. Then we have the Board of Supervisors, which is far worse, and we go in front of them. It's the same type of thing where someone like Les Baugh will say, well, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to interrupt you. Oh, you really can't do that. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to anyway. And, you know, you have all these different agencies, all these different government officials. We're already there, but I think clear-minded people and clear-thinking people understand that what we have to do now is we have to begin to elect people now. You know, we talked about this as a long-term thing. Well, Mark, I happen to agree with you. I don't know how much time we have. I mean, I don't know what long-term means. I mean, I understand that the idea that we have to, we can never give up, that, you know, that the fight for liberty is eternal vigilance. I understand that. But the point is that time is running short. And really, you know, we just don't have time for BS anymore. We don't have time for hurt feelings anymore. We don't have time to be politically correct anymore. And we certainly don't have time to worry about somebody getting their undies in a knot anymore.
Well, it shouldn't even be a part of the conversation at this point. You know, no matter what happens, in order to get our liberty back, okay, we've got to become a part of the solution and not the problem. We can't go around chasing our tails, looking for every little, you know, pet project, whether it's geoengineering or gun control. We've got to get into the positions of power in order to change that. And that's what I'm saying.
That's what Jefferson is, because once you have a sovereign state, the jurisdiction of the state is the jurisdiction of the state. The interposition of the state is standing between the federal government and the people constitutionally. And what you have lastly is a nullification, which you've touched on already. All that stuff is null and void. They are scared. I can't say the word, but it's a four-letter word, and it ends in less. And they are scared that way.
Well, that's when
what we're going to do with this particular. We talked to the attorneys at length last week about Jefferson, and we have a couple of them that have won in front of the Supreme Court. And all that will be revealed here in the next month or so. Point being, they feel so strongly about our case and the lack of representation we have, the people like Jerry Brown breaking the law totally with no consequences. These guys are very passionate about it. And frankly, they're going to be doing it for us, at a reduced rate. It's still going to be quite a bit. Point is that we have to start fighting right now. People, you've got to wake up now. You should be calling all your elected officials. Agitate, and then when you're done with that, agitate some more.
Absolutely, Terry. All I'm saying is that once we get the state of Jefferson, if we all take our guns and go home, or we all, you know, metaphorically speaking, go home, we'll be right back where we started. The state.
Are you going to let that happen?
Well, absolutely not. That's the point.
Well, I think everybody feels that way, my good friend.
Sure.
I think that's the whole thing is that we've given people something to be engaged in, not superficially, but they really sink their teeth into it. It really is, you know, the apple. It's the bite of the apple. They have that. That's their apple. People are beginning to realize that government's theirs. Freedom and liberty is a marvelous thing, and that's what we're seeing resonate in all the people in Jefferson. I know that you can attest to that. I know Red can certainly attest to it. And, Red, you've been amazing. You guys have been so great when it comes to getting information. I can't tell you. You know, to me, I would like to see all this stuff you come up with and a great job you've done go out to so many more people. Folks, get on the Shasta Lantern. Get on the Shasta Lantern. See what this young man writes. He only writes it when he has all the facts.
Well, you know, I got to echo that sentiment because, you know, we've had a couple of private conversations about a couple of missives going back and forth, and Red's been stellar on what we're doing. And yeah, people are waking up, and we're also starting to see some of the powers that be get interested in what we're doing. I've had the Reading Searchlight has tried to friend me on Facebook. A couple of people from the Reading Searchlight this last week. And, you know, I was trying to decide whether I wanted to be their friends or not. I don't want to sit there and argue with an idiot who's already, trying to, you know, get into a website to present their point of view. I don't care about their point of view. I don't want to even hear it because as far as I'm concerned, you know, their point of view is a bunch of crap. All you got to do is read their paper a couple of times and you see that, you know, it's nothing more than, you know, parroting the powers that be, whether it's AP or whatever. They're chills. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So, but
the Record Searchlight is on Carl Bott's show tomorrow at 8 a.m.
I'll try to listen.
8 a.m. The Record Searchlight's on. I mean, call and let your voice be heard. You know, I think that it's gone, we've gone way past a lot of vacillating, and, you know, it's all, I mean, sometimes when I hear some of these programs and stuff, I think we're living in, life is a cabaret, my friend, you know?
Yeah.
I really wonder what's going on. I mean, who cares about what's going on at this particular dinner or party or whatever the case may be when we have a county right now that's $200 million in unfunded liability. And I know Red was making the case this morning about unfunded liabilities. Stop and think about it, my friend. $200 million just in the city? Imagine really what that unfunded liability really is in California. It's got to be some figure we haven't even come up with.
$700 million or something. Or
catastrophically staggering.
Well,
yeah, you got $700 million in just in the two counties, probably.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the city of Redding. And
You're up at
almost to the trillions, if not over the trillion mark in the state of California.
Oh, definitely.
But no, I think what you, this is what I think you should do, Terry. I think that you should go out and buy the Walt Disney production of Pollyanna. Okay, and just watch it over and over and over again because it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think the thing is people are waking up, and I forgot to mention Bill Chappelle. You know what a patriot he's been.
Absolutely.
He's also
running
in District 4. I forgot to mention him for supervisor.
Well, that's the secret across the board. And that's where we got to concentrate our efforts on. And people got to get out there and help these candidates get into office. I mean,
Austin Bennett will be at the Corning Tea Party on February 18th, and he's going to be running against Jim Nielsen. I've had numerous conversations with him. And by the way, Red, he was the gentleman in the suit that had his young son with him on Friday.
Yeah, and it was great to see someone like that come out to the rally and support to bring their children to understand how important what we're doing and what they're doing is, and how important it is to have civic engagement. Where is this country's sense of civic duty anymore? Where is it ingrained in you that you have a duty to maintain your government, to maintain your society, to maintain your civic responsibilities? You are more than willing to reap the benefits of a free society, even as they continue to shrink and sink around you, but you will not step up to exercise your civic responsibility to maintain that. Where are people's sense of civic duty? And all I know is that when we have the state of Jefferson, I want to run to be the head of the Office of Federal Compliance and Coordination, and my entire campaign platform is go on get.
Well, we have 12 people that are running, okay, that we know of at this point. And there's other people daily that are beginning to throw their hats in. You know, so I think that that's a sign, a real sign of what's going on. We didn't have anywhere near this happening even the last election. So I think that's a real sign.
It's taken hold.
It needs to be every finger. It needs to be school districts, water boards, fire districts.
Right.
All of it.
All of it, yeah. Because the rest of them are over there were at Shasta College watching the vagina monologues.
I kind of wondered what that would be about.
I'm pretty sure I don't care, but, you know, I have this image in my head, and I can't see
it. Oh, man, you know, you can't make this stuff up.
I know.
You really can't. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I just... I don't want to be the purveyor of doom or you know, mean Mr. Mustard, but hey, come on, you know, get a life. This stuff is happening daily, sometimes hourly. I mean, and we're allowing it all to happen. Before we know it, you know, we'll just be a society of complete slaves. But people out there, folks, if you think that you're not in slavery right now, think about what's happened in this last conversation. Weigh those things and think about that. And I would like to hear maybe someone from Keep It California call in and say, oh, you know, but really, we're not in slavery. We have all these great situations happening here.
I got free health care.
I would love to hear Keep It California's comment on, where's your budget surplus, Cindy?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Where'd
this morning.
That go?
And folks, if you didn't hear the Jefferson State of Mind this morning, you need to listen to that last 15 minutes when Red talks about what's going on economically with California. And I'll say this again, and I, you know, I may sound like a proud uncle, but I'm just saying, Red Smith is not putting anything out there that he doesn't research, research, and then research again. And Mark Kent, with all the million things he's done, helps. And Sissy, we couldn't do any of this without you. And I'll tell you, everything that is put out in the Shasta Lantern has been researched to a point where, yes, it's fact. Yes, this is fact. Yes, this is the truth. And with that, I'll let you guys go. I've bloviated enough. I love you all. Love your program.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Terry.
How sad a state of affairs is it that we are the most credible source of media there is? How sad is that?
Well, it just tells you there's absolutely no journalism out there at all. You know, here we got a ragtag group of people that has never been trained on anything other than common sense, and we're scooping all these people who are supposed to be the standard. You know, I mean,
we're just people that are searching for the truth.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know.
I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and to give that information to the people out in the public to let them know exactly what's going on.
I got to read this. I got to read this because it's just too funny.
Okay.
This is we got a message, you know, from the Lantern, and they forward us to, you know, it comes to my email, and I forward it to Red so that we can figure out what to do about different things. And this is the message body. It says, "Hi, my name is Kerry Nelson, and I'm working on an article about yellow journalism and your online monthly newspaper. It's hard to get information from. For example, who funds it? How many reporters do you have? What are the degrees? What colleges did they graduate? Thank you so much and have a glorious day." Okay? And this is precious. This is Red's reply. "Why, hello, Kerry Nelson. Let us begin with some etiquette. How about you identify yourself beyond a name? What media source do you work for? What is their contact info so I might confirm your employment? How many people work there? Who signs your paycheck? How much are your paychecks worth? What is your social security number? Blood type? What college did you attend? Did you have a boyfriend in college, or was it a time of sexual exploration?" I mean,
well, I mean, she's just all up in our business. It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get down and gritty and ask some questions. I want to know.
Yeah, and I don't know, what is the definition of yellow journalism?
What does yellow journalism mean?
Yellow journalism is referring to a period mainly around Randolph Hearst and when he was running publications, and he created news. He came up with false statements and false narratives.
Oh, so that's
to,
what it is.
Oh,
so we have a lot of that
agenda
going on right now, I think.
Oh, so we're yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're yellow journalists.
What about the other ones?
Hence the aggravation in my reply.
Yeah.
So
because
as Terry said, there is nothing that the Shasta Lantern puts out that we cannot back up six ways from Sunday, because the big guys can get it wrong every time and not get called on to it. We get to be wrong one time.
So we're sensationalists. Journalism,
yeah,
according to the thesaurus, you know, yellow journalism, the practice of seeking out sensational news for the purposes of boosting a newspaper circulation. That right there is so stupid that anybody who knows what the Shasta Lantern is about, oh yeah, we're about putting out sensational news to boost our circulation. It'd be nice if we were freaking getting paid, you idiot.
Yeah.
It tells you what kind of person this Carrie may be. You know, where she's coming from.
Well, I openly invite any person that has an issue with one of our stories to call and challenge us on the facts. I openly invite that conversation and my argument, because it's like giving me a chew toy before lunch.
So it's all about sensationalism. It's not about facts. It's not about, gee, our country going down the tube. It's not about anything of importance to our freedom, our liberty. It's about, oh, we're just doing this to be sensational. So what? We can get 300 hits on our freaking...
Let me give you an example of investigative journalism, Kerry Nelson. You can't figure out who we are, who we're funded by, or who we're up to.
Whoa, that's a secret.
Within an hour, I found you, identified you. I have your address, your name, your phone number. I know that you ran a bike helmet thing in conjunction with the Harney County Sheriff's Department. I know that your mom and your mom's best friend are kindergarten teachers in Harney County. I know who you and your husband are. That's called investigative journalism, ma'am.
Wow, man.
From your email address.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, hey, we had to run that thing smoke. What's that old, don't bogart that joint. My friend. These people, they have no idea of, you know, having integrity about a cause here other than their collectivism BS
But you know that you're probably getting to them, otherwise you wouldn't have got that.
Why are they even inquiring?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know you're kind of like poking them.
Yeah.
You know, you're poking the dog with the stick.
Inquiring shills want to know.
Yeah, and you're being truthful about it, and they certainly don't like that.
Yeah, and I guess, Carrie Nelson, your mom gets one quote in the Washington Post, and you consider yourself a journalist now.
What?
Well, why not?
We just made ourselves. Yeah. Made ourselves journalism. We went to the school
That's investigative reporting. Within an hour, I know who you are, where you live, breathe.
These guys don't investigate anything.
They don't want to investigate anything.
Talk about lazy.
Yeah, they get a paycheck handed to them, and with that paycheck, they're told what to do, and that's exactly what they do and how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the full definition of slave, just in case you wanted to know. A person held in servitude is chattel of another. And everybody knows what chattel is. That's property. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next definition is one that is completely subservient to a dominant influence.
Marriage.
Well, that all depends. Maybe you're giving us too much information about yourself there, Red.
Wasn't there a movie, Slave Boy? No, Cabin Boy, I'm sorry. Anyway.
You two are perverts. I did not mean it in that manner. I was being chauvinistic, not perverse.
Well, shows where your brain went. Okay.
A device is a printer of a computer that is directly responsive to another. So we got a bunch of devices out there, you know, in the journalistic field.
That one.
Yeah, so you're a slave cylinder.
Yeah.
I'm leaving that alone.
With that, you know,
I guess.
Our caller's having second thoughts. We could stand a break.
Oh,
okay.
Why not? We could come back and talk some more about our esteemed congressman. I have some stuff I still want to go over here.
All right. Again, if you have a subject or a comment or a question for us, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Everything is awesome.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome the Record Searchlight managing editor Carol Ferguson and her guest as we talk about what's happening with the Record Searchlight, what's the future for print media, and what are their big stories they're working on. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Redding's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Like that, Marshall Tucker, boy, you can't help you. Yeah, we thought we'd come back with Easy Rider, Don't Bogart That Joint, but, you know.
Oh, if people only knew the conversations that went on between breaks.
We have to be careful because sometimes our mics are live.
Yeah,
that's hot mic. That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be real bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially when you're talking about the vagina monologues.
Yeah.
But
not everybody's in the same conversation.
No. Yeah, moving right along. So anyway, I think we have a caller.
We do. Good morning, Mart from Reading. How are you?
Greetings. I am blessed by your broadcast. You folks are the Paul Revere of the age, and you're screaming to the world, the pirates are coming, the pirates are coming. I hope people wake up.
Yeah.
I would appreciate it if you'd expand the teachings of our assassinated cowboy teacher, Lavoy Finnegan. In other words, he needs to be known. People don't know who he is and what he said. And you had a on-air broadcast of his teachings, and it needs to be put on paper for distribution to the uninformed. And you mentioned Mr. Griffin, and he needs to be expanded. He had a fantastic book called The Creature from Jekyll Island about the banksters. And then also there's another wonderful book out there called The Unseen Hand by Ralph Epperson. It explains just about the same thing about how the banksters are controlling all of this. And I wondered if at the meeting the other day at the federal courthouse, you say that the Homeland Security was there. Did anyone ask if they were carrying some of the 40 caliber hollow points that the administration has distributed? We know that that's not a military bullet. And by the way, here's our biggest problem. If the current administration and all of our politicians are violating the Constitution, what's the point of if they cannot be brought to justice, what's the point of electing any more? We have a problem. You're talking about slavery. I have run into lots of folks that don't like slavery, but then I ask them, okay, what about the IRS? Isn't that slavery? Don't they own you? And then talk to the people about George Washington. What would he do to our war hero called Benedict Arnold. I say that he would take him down. Some say, oh, they can't take my guns, they can't take my gold. And I says, with the blessings of the government, I could use a bulldozer to take your guns and your gold. I suggest that people wake up and start breaking down their assets, because if they don't spend it now, it's going to be taken from them later on. And here's another point for the Christians. The saddest, the most terrifying words in the scriptures is, I never knew you. And so they need to look at Matthew 28:19 to see what the king says to do. It needs to get out and do stuff, not wait around for some stupid cop-out rapture. Thank you so much for the program.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Boy, you covered a lot of stuff there.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Where do we start? I mean,
well, you know, George Washington with Benedict Arnold. He called him friend and then hanged the bastard.
Well, Benedict Arnold was a war hero. He even had a wounded in one of the battles, Brandywine, or I can't remember which battle it was. But, you know, he was a war hero until he decided to get bought off by the British, because he got involved with one of the, I think it was the general's daughters, I believe, and he went over to the other side. So at that point in time, you know, he became a traitor regardless of what he had done in the past, you know. And so Washington, you know, basically disowned him and you know, would have prosecuted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, had he not ran and got into another country. And he ended up dying in England, a broken man, because, you know, he had nobody wanted to have anything to do with him because he was a traitor to his country. I mean, that's the term, you know, are you a Benedict Arnold, you know? And I mean, so, you know, there's lots of things to talk about. As far as Lavoie, we'll have some more stuff on him. He's not going away. I mean, he has ignited and sparked.
This story isn't over.
No,
well, hardly at all.
Anybody that has watched Lavoie, and when he spoke, he was an eloquent, gentle human being, and the fact that the man of such quality was driven past his point by what's going on should speak volumes in itself. I mean, if you watch some of the discourses that he did, and when he made the choice to engage with the BLM and retake his rights and stand for what was right, and he didn't do it with anger, he didn't do it with hate in his heart. This was not some kind of firebrand radical. This was a calm and gentle man, the salt of the earth, that had been driven beyond his limits.
Well, that's it. You know, and like I say, it doesn't take very long to take the measure of this man. You know, church-going, God-fearing, family man, 11 kids, you know, fostered over 50 children. At what point in time, you know, this guy never had a speeding ticket even, never been in trouble with the BLM, never been, you know, in jail or anything. And then all of a sudden he stands up and says, well, wait a minute, the federal government has overstepped their boundaries here. They are acquiring land that they're not entitled to under constitutional law, and nobody's doing a thing about it. The state's acquiescing, you know, because why? We have people in positions of power that are collectivists and think the state should run everything. Yeah, that's it.
Well, because once again, we're not putting people in those positions to stand by what they're supposed to be standing by.
Hey, it's going to take a while.
You know, and Mort brought up a good point about the church getting engaged.
Well, now I think you're going to see the Mormon church get engaged.
Well, anybody that has seen video or was privy to some of the things that went on at Kanab at Lavoie's funeral, there's a problem coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then you had Ezra Taft Benson. I guess he's the head of the church saying that this is a real problem over there. I'm not
sure.
There
is a problem coming.
Yeah. So it's.
Well, it was a big opening for a lot of people because, again, they didn't think anything like this was possible or even going on or would ever happen.
Blatantly.
I mean, they threw it right in our face.
We've got wolves in sheep's clothing in our government across the board. It's really simple. I mean, you know, it's like, let's getting, you know, back to, you know, what we were talking about before. I wanted to go over a couple of things here. You know, one is, you know, Congress wants to turn the post office into a bank. And we talked about banking a little bit here. Okay. I mean,
they couldn't run the post office. What makes you think the bank's gonna work? I mean, you know, I'm just
well, you know, this comes from Zero Hedge, and you know, and it's the first line is great. It's news that seemed to be ripped from the pages of The Onion, or perhaps Atlas Shrugged. Okay, so you know what this is that it's called the Providing Opportunity for Savings Transactions and Lending Act. It's just like that other stupid thing about the terrorism thing. Come on, guys. You know, wait. The Postal Act.
Jeez. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It provides for explicit authority or authorization for them to provide banking services, including checking and savings accounts, money transfer, and other financial services in the post office deems appropriate in the public interest. Are you freaking kidding me? That's what we need is the post office to go into banking.
Who would be running that bank? Who would be the federal government?
Good question, isn't that?
Yeah, exactly. Not that there would be any problem there, Robert.
Although their their accumulated losses right now exceeds $51 billion, easily ranking it among the least successful companies in history. I got an idea. Let's set up a bank so they can run the losses even bigger.
They can't run nothing without it being a problem.
Just as long as they're pilfering off of the top the entire time.
Well, you know, they need the Postal Service desperately needs cash. It couldn't be that they unfunded or they overfunded all of these pensions and hired all these people that don't work and you know, completely turned the post office into an unproductive institution that is way overpaid. Okay.
Yeah, the post office was doing great until they got their hands in there.
You know, so what a better way to raise capital than to sucker a bunch of unsuspecting Americans into operating and opening up a postal bank account.
And I understand correctly that the post office is a federal entity, is it not?
Yes.
Yes, now it is.
Is it not against the law for the federal government to commit to compete in the private sector?
Well, gee, there's no limitations on what they can do at this point. Good grief. The Constitution, who cares about that anymore? Good grief. You know, the enumerated powers. What enumerated powers? They just do whatever they want. They take land. They take they steal your money. They turn you into slaves. You know, they kill people in Oregon, ranchers. Okay, that's all okay because I'm sitting in my fat little government office going, we do a lot of good for the poor. Really? Are you that freaking stupid?
The poor they created.
Yeah.
They keep creating.
Yeah, they continue to create.
They count. Remember, those are ghost poor. Those guys all under the bridge, out of work, that 93 million.
I'm not really seeing all those people down there in those tents and everything along the river, right?
They don't count because they... Not, you know, there's statistic, and statistics, you know, there's, what is that, there's lies, there's big lies, and there's statistics, I think Mark Twain said, and that's what we're talking about. These guys bend and twist anything they want, and what happens is we keep consolidating more and more power into this huge, you know, leviathan federal government that's turning us all into servitude, poor, you know.
And we keep funding them and keep giving them more money.
Peons.
And keep giving them more.
Pretty soon, instead of having a mayor, we'll have the alcalde.
Yeah. We just keep letting them have more and more.
And Acaldi might be more effective at this point. At least he'd just blatantly rob us.
Yeah, and then we've got, you know, our esteemed, you know, congressman here that, you know, we got the TPP. Yeah, I mean, you know, I get this message from him about this one thing, about the Terrorism Act, whatever they call it. What is it? The administration called it the, what is the name of this stupid act? Where is it? I'm looking for it here.
Okay, while you're looking.
The Terror Finance Transparency Act, okay, with his support. But okay.
How much more transparent does it have to be to know that Iran funds terrorism all over the world?
All I want to know is
how much more transparent?
Mr. Congressman, do you support Mitch McConnell? Do you support Mitch McConnell? Did you support John Boehner? Do you support
Ryan?
Do you support Harry Reid? Because they're all on the same freaking team up there.
And it's
okay.
Not ours.
With that, we need to go to a break, and when we come back, we have Todd on the line, so we'll take that call. Again, this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Join us for the Signature Gala event at the Cascade Theater February 12th at 7 p.m. This elegant evening begins with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, giving guests a chance to mingle and bid on the live and silent auction items, including autographed prints and posters from some of the world's most renowned musical artists. The auction will be followed by an evening filled with champagne and dancing under the lights of the beautiful historical Cascade Theater. Proceeds from the Signature Gala will benefit the historic theater's artistic and educational programs, as well as its ongoing preservation and restoration. For more information, call the Cascade Box Office at 243-8877 or go online at cascadetheater.org. The Signature Gala event, February 12th.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today 338-2112.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Call in here at 530-605-4567. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. And I believe we have a caller on the line.
We should have Todd on the line. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning, Linda. And good morning, Mark and Red.
Good morning.
Say, you know, I was listening to that constitutional professor or teacher, Miss Hall.
Chris Ann, yeah.
Chris Ann Hall. Mm-hmm. And part of her, you know, seminar or whatever goes into the court system and criminal justice system. And, you know, I think that we have a major problem with our justice system here in America. So here's what my question is with the state of Jefferson. If everything ends up in the courts, the politicians control those courts. And she explains it very clearly that no matter if you end up suing in state court or in federal court, the politicians control those judges. So, I think that's where the problem has started here in America, is with the justice system.
Well, I think you're right, Todd. The founders were actually as concerned with the judicial system as they were, probably more so than any of the other systems in some ways. That's why you have state nullification. The states don't have to follow those federal mandates. You know, that's what we lost sight of. The state and the people. That's what Madison talked about in the Federalist Papers. At some point in time, the people have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it. And that is what counteracts the judicial system from overreach by the state and federal government.
And it's why they were very specific that they granted the judicial system no authority to create legislation or law.
Well, my concern is with the state of Jefferson, eventually it's going to end up in court, and you just end up in front of a judge that's controlled by either Jerry Brown or from Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
somewhere along the line, you're going to end up with a judge that's going to be controlled by the politicians. And I really wish somewhere along the line you could somehow get that Cindy Powell.
She Ellsworth.
Wrote that book, License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Justice Department. Because she very clearly points to several cases where the criminal justice system or the Department of Justice is corrupt. And that trickles down from the federal to the state and from the state to your local.
Let me interject here really, really quickly, because I understand what you're saying about the court system and the fact that the state of Jefferson will end up in the court system and the things that are going on. Is two things will happen. Is they will follow the color of law, and we will be victorious, or they will loudly and clearly expose themselves to the fact that they no longer care or follow the color of law and invalidate themselves by doing so.
Not only that, I mean, what if we put somebody, because who picks the judges? We got to turn over these policy seats, because a governor who appoints Chris Ann Hall as the Supreme Court judge in the state of Jefferson.
Well, again, we're back to we need to start getting people in power at
right.
the lower level to work our way up and create a system that is correct.
And that could be completely turned over with the state of Jefferson, with a whole new set of people that come in that are going to be individualists.
Well, one of the most fundamental things that we can elect, other than, you know, a county official and a city official and things like that, are all well and nice, but we primarily have to elect a district attorney that A, will prosecute wrongful doing by politicians, and B, a sheriff that'll serve the subpoenas and take them into custody when need be. That's where you start. It's those two vital things, and then you can start cleaning out the scumbags.
We're coming to the top of the hour. Stay
right.
tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Todd. Stay tuned. We'll be doing our third hour
right after the hard break. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
More Sovereign Minds coming your way next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
This is Hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. There has been sharp reaction today to the latest North Korean rocket test.
National Security Advisor Susan Rice says North Korea's launch using ballistic missile technology, following so closely after its January 6th nuclear test, represents yet another destabilizing and provocative action and is a flagrant violation of multiple UN Security Council resolutions. She says North Korea's missile and nuclear weapons programs represent serious threats to our interests, including the security of some of our closest allies, and undermine peace and security in the broader region. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Meanwhile, the UN Security Council has issued a statement this hour strongly condemning the North Korean rocket launch and pledging a new resolution with significant new sanctions. Three people have died in a fiery crash in San Francisco. The California Highway Patrol says it happened after an officer tried to pull over the driver of a white Chevrolet sedan seen rotating in circles in the middle of a neighborhood street. The car sped away, crashed into a taxi, and burst into flames. The surviving members of a modern Bonnie and Clyde pair behind bars in Florida.
Brittany Harper faces felony charges of robbery, kidnapping, vehicle theft, and home invasion in Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Her boyfriend, Blake Fitzgerald, died during a shootout in the Florida Panhandle early Friday. During the standoff, authorities say Fitzgerald betrayed his 30-year-old girlfriend and unsuccessfully used her as a human shield. She was wounded in the leg and hospitalized under armed guard. Harper's being held on $1.16 million bond in Escambia County. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Rescuers continue to pull survivors from the ruins of a high-rise apartment building in Taiwan. The government of the city of Tainan says more than 170 people have been rescued, though 26 died. It's all because of a small earthquake. This is SRN News.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
The Serb pilot who landed a jetliner in Somalia last week with a large hole in its fuselage says he has never doubted it was caused by a bomb and describes the security at Mogadishu Airport as, quote, zero. After initially saying there was no sign of foul play, Somali officials yesterday admitted that a suicide bomber is likely to have set off the explosive inside the plane. The blast sucked a male passenger out of the plane and forced the aircraft to make the emergency landing Tuesday. Sri Lanka's ethnic Tamil leaders today are asking the UN human rights officials to help determine the fate of more than 4,000 civilians reported missing in the country's long civil war, amid the government's assertion that most of them are probably dead. Both the Sri Lankan government and the Tamil Tiger rebels are accused of serious human rights violations, killing up to 100,000 people in a 26-year war. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. It seems like a tragedy waiting to happen, Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reports.
Gun-shaped phone cases. You heard that right. Smartphone cases shaped just like a handgun and being sold online. New York Congressman Ellie Dangle calls them a ticking time bomb. Legislation to ban them has gained little traction, so Engel's now calling on Amazon to voluntarily discontinue sales. Engel says it's not a question of if, but when a cop mistakes one of them for the real thing. Wally Hines, Capitol Hill.
Today is Sunday, February the 7th, a birthday for some notable people. Author Gay Talese is 84 years old. Country singer Garth Brooks turns 54 today. Actor Miguel Ferrer is 61. Fellow actor James Spader is celebrating a birthday, 56 years old today. And former Democratic Senator Herb Kohl of Wisconsin is 81 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
But we came to fight.
We are American.
just gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am.
Well, Cybermind Radio, this is the third hour. We're going to drive it home. And, gosh, you know, we were just reading a little article sent in here from Todd. And you just can't make this crap up. I mean, this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, okay? By Melody Gutierrez. $400 billion debt worries and analysis. Okay, Sacramento, California, blah, 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 blah. California has come a long way to dig itself out of budget deficits, really, but the state remains on shaky ground. So it's come a long way to dig itself out of budget deficits, but the state remains on shaky ground due to a $400 billion unfunded liability and debt from public pensions, retiree health care, bonds. Really? So they come a long way, right? Are you kidding me? Now, the major liabilities, okay. This is our commander in chief at the local or at the state level. This is Governor Jerry Brown, Moonbeam. This is what he says. These liabilities are so massive that it's tempting to ignore them. What? Are you kidding me? This is the governor? Yeah, they're so big. Let's just ignore them. You know, Jerry Brown said last month at his State of the State speech, we can't possibly pay them off in a year or two or even 10. And there's little satisfaction in the notion of chipping away at an obligation for 3 decades to pay for something that has already been promised. Yet it is our moral obligation to do so, particularly before we make new commitments. Are you freaking kidding me? What about the fact that you recurred them in the first place, you boneheaded moron, idiot, piece of crap.
He simply had an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine.
But I mean,
that's our governor.
And how do you trust budget numbers? I mean, this is one of those stupid financial things that we go round and round and round on with the state of Jefferson, and they say, "Well, what are your numbers based on? Facts." Financial reports, going through county budgets, seeing the amount of money collected. Keep a California number. What are your numbers based on? Well, what Jerry Brown and the governor tells us.
4.9% unemployment.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look. And you'll see into your imagination.
Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we do.
Is it our guest?
It ain't Moonbeam.
Yeah. Let's get enough foolery.
It's Laurie, actually.
Oh, Laurie. Okay, I thought it was Tom Fenton. We're waiting for Tom Fenton to call from Judicial Watch, so we want to take that and get off the funny stuff. But let's get Laurie up here, and then hopefully Tom will call.
Yeah, good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, everyone. I'm actually kind of nervous to be calling you guys lately. You're scaring me.
You're doomed.
I know, and I think I'm a tough cookie most times, but anyways... to respond back to some of the callers' interest in the vigil that we had Friday afternoon regarding the Homeland Security vehicles, I've been investigating, checking, and looking at where some of our missing money is. Apparently, back in October of 2015, there's an article here on Free Beacon, and millions of dollars are spent, meaning wasted, due to the vehicle fleet management. They have overdone their vehicles by 101. The Federal Protective Service, which I didn't know they renamed themselves lately. It used to be a Customs Immigration Enforcement, and then they changed their name in 2010. And they didn't want their pictures taken. at the very end of this vigil, we were talking to the two men that were there, and we're not sure if they were there to really look at the building and the contents of the building or to kind of watch out for some of us on the street that were, you know, doing the memorial. It was kind of vague. Let's just leave it at that. But back to my article here that I'm looking at online right now, the Federal Protective Service had 101 more law enforcement vehicles than officers last year and spent taxpayer funding to upgrade them with bike racks that they don't really need, really. And so there's some question about the $10.7 million to lease these last year. They've done some audits. They're not sure, and this is the Office of Inspector General, why they needed to have extra room in these vehicles to store police equipment, cages, and whatnot.
Lori?
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt you, but actually we have Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch on the line.
Want to hear this.
Yeah,
yep.
So I'm sorry to cut you off.
Look it up.
Yeah. We appreciate the information, though, but we want to get to Tom on the line.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Maybe call back after we get Tom
on
here. No, it's okay. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Mr. Fitton, are you with us?
Yes.
How are you this morning, sir?
Thanks. It's good to be with you. Thank you. How are you?
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, so what's going on in Washington? I mean, you know, have we got new stuff on Hillary, the stellar politician who can't seem to get it right?
Well, you know, it's not a question of being a politician. It's a question of being someone, a citizen who was put in public office and, you know, violated the law on records management and classified information. And, you know, now she's dealing with the consequences of that misconduct. Just the way, if you're working in your office and you decided to run an eBay business on your personal email, on your business email account.
Well, she's violated a lot of statutes and some, I guess, jumped it up to felonies with the SAP emails. I guess they're so sensitive that they can't even release them because it's to need to know any need to know only. So, gosh, I mean, is she going to get indicted here, or are we going to have another issue of she just walks?
Well, I think if the facts and law are followed, she'd be indicted. I think she probably will be indicted, but, you know, you never know. With this Obama administration, they have a politicized Justice Department, and so the concern is that politics will intrude as well. And remember, it's not just President Mrs. Clinton who has an issue. Barack Obama may have an issue. Other officials at the State Department may have an issue. So, you know, any indictment and any criminal case against Mrs. Clinton is going to bring in a whole host of officials and politicians no one probably wants to deal with, at least at the Justice Department. So let's pray for the discernment necessary but for the prosecutors to do the right thing and hold her to account.
So how would they bring him in? Would it be through discovery, or would she just, you know, rat him out, so to speak? I mean, what do you think their
danger
is?
Well, I mean, if you're Mrs. Clinton, you know, they've withheld a dozen or plus 18 emails between her and President Obama. You know, that was the sort of material, putting that sort of stuff in the wrong hands that General Petraeus was indicted and had to plead guilty for. So, you know, Mrs. Clinton is going to say, as she said previously, hundreds of people in the administration knew what I was doing. Heck, the President of the United States was communicating with me on this system, and now you're going to try to put me in jail for using it? Well, who else knew about this, and why aren't they being held to account? Because it's negligence. There's a negligence standard in terms of criminal violations of law related to the handling of classified information. You know, you may not intend to leak it out, but if you leave it on the equivalent of an internet park bench, then you can be indicted and convicted. Obviously, Mrs. Clinton kept it on her server, which wasn't protected, but if people were sending her that information knowing it was going to be there, then why aren't they being held to account?
So do you think she's just incompetent, you know, and then getting back to...
No, she's not incompetent. This is a knowing disregard for the law. She knew about emails. This issue had come up in her during the Clinton White House years, specifically with Judicial Watch. There's no innocent mistake here in our view.
So there's a pattern of criminality is what you're telling me, and that it bleeds over into the White House as well, because, you know, are we going to see stuff on there that's damning from the Benghazi incident as well? I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know what's not there that hasn't been there, but that hasn't been released yet. But look, Maduro, that's been released about Benghazi out of her emails that have been has been quite devastating to her, is bad enough, and it shows that that's the reason she had the system. None of the material that's been released has been voluntary. State Department didn't want to release it, and Mrs. Clinton didn't want to release it. It was litigation that forced it out.
Well, she tried to destroy it. I mean, that in itself is a crime.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, these are the sorts of things that the prosecutors and the FBI ought to be looking at.
I was going to ask, do you think that she'll end up getting away with her criminal acts due to she's going to throw everybody else underneath the bus?
No. Other people may have issues, but she isn't getting away with it now. I don't think she'll get away with it in the future.
Well, I've heard that the FBI says if the DOJ, and that would be Loretta Lynch, who we know is a crony of this administration, obviously, you know, if she won't prosecute, they're going to go public. And if nothing else, she's at least finished in the court of public opinion as far as running for office. But, you know, if she doesn't get charged and convicted, I mean, or not convicted, but at least charged and indicted, I mean, we don't have a rule of law anymore, do we?
No, I think it will make it very hard, in the least, to protect classified information from threats from others. You know, people go to jail for doing what Mrs. Clinton did, and it's going to be hard to put anyone else in jail or tell anyone to protect the nation's secrets, the release of which could harm our national security, if this kind of brazen disrespect for the law isn't followed up on.
Yeah, it just is amazing to me, because I think they're just above the law. I mean, if she does, you know, let's say she does get indicted and convicted, then, you know, what's Barack Obama going to do? Going to pardon her? I mean, does she need to run to get elected as president and, you know, then nothing happens because she's above the law at that point?
Well, I suppose she could always be impeached, and you raise the prospect of a pardon from President Obama, but, you know, that's not going to be much help for her to be pardoned and running for president at the same time. You know, the question isn't whether, because we don't oppose or endorse candidates. It's not a question of her running for president, or she had the right to, but it's the fact that she's running for president a reason to protect her from the rule of law, and obviously that can't be the case.
Well, I mean, how could she be fit to hold office?
What's the likelihood she's going to fall down and bump her head again?
Well, you know, I can't comment on that sort of stuff other than say that Mrs. Clinton really doesn't have much respect for the rule of law, and there's got to be some accountability for it. And whether the voters do that or not is not one that we can get involved in, but we can try to make sure that through our court cases and our court actions and by public education and pressure that she's held to account, and that the law enforcement officials that are supposed to do the work actually do the work.
Well, I just want to say I've been following you guys over there at Judicial Watch for quite a while, Tom. And, you know, I just want to thank you guys, because you guys have done outstanding work in this area of keeping these guys held accountable by subpoenaing and these records and the Freedom of Information Acts that have been filed in court to get this stuff pulled out, because nobody else is doing it.
Well, that's true, and we're happy to do the work. We appreciate the good word there, and we're going to keep on working no matter what the Justice Department does or Congress or anyone else. We're just going to keep on trying to get these records out there.
Well, boy, I'll tell you what, you guys are heroes in my book, and if somebody wanted to donate, you know, where do they go to donate to you guys to help you out with the cause?
Oh, well, they can go to our website at judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch1word.org, and they can look at all the documents we're getting, because you won't believe them.
I'll tell you, I follow you guys, you know, I get your email every week about, you know, what's happening. I follow you guys religiously, and, you know, like I say again, you guys are heroes, and I don't know if anybody else has got anything here to ask you, and we know your time is valuable, so...
No, I just want to...
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the coverage. And, you know, your listeners and can follow our work at judicialwatch.org, because, I tell you, they'll see stuff there they won't see anywhere else in the media. And you can believe it, because we're taking it directly from the government documents. So you can look at the documents for yourselves and draw your own conclusions.
Well, that's we have a strong appreciation of the people that will actually go out there and do the work and be able to verify it and bring the truth out, because it is so vital.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, and we want to thank you again for coming on, and maybe we can have you back during this case and stuff and get more information so we can put it out there to the public.
Oh, sure do. Keep track, and as things happen, we'll be sure to keep you updated as best we can.
Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thank you.
That's Tom Fitton. Stay mighty, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
All right.
Okay, we have another caller?
No, I don't think so.
No, I thought we did.
No.
But it is things like that, the Judicial Watch and organizations like that, that are actually doing the investigation, that are doing the due diligence, that are doing the digging and bringing things out, that it is so vital.
Absolutely. And, it's like the comment about the yellow journalism crap. You know, the citizen journalisms are coming more and more into power because, you know, I'm listening to O'Reilly. Now, I hate O'Reilly. I'm at the point where I just can't even hardly stand to watch O'Reilly because he is so full of crap. He is so twisting, you know, facts for, you know, he says, oh, don't get any of your information off the internet. Well, you know, where can you get your information from? You know, Fox News? Are you kidding me? They are so twisted out, and I think people realized it finally with the debates and Megyn Kelly and all this stuff, that they're just shills. I mean, you have to go out and find this stuff, and you get a few organizations that you trust, like, you know, Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch and a few others, like this one I'm looking at front right now. They promised us to debate a debate over TPP, and then they signed it without any debate. Now, this is a new website that I haven't seen before. It's boingboing.net. Now, you know, the yellow journalism is such a slight on character when you're getting it from people like the Record Searchlight or, you know, these people that don't cover anything. They just black out the news. I mean, when was the last time they were talking about, you know, Hillary on mainstream news? They're just starting to because they're being forced to. Their credibility is just about out the window.
The citizen media, the capabilities and the credibility of many outlets of citizen media is amazing to me. These people are becoming very good at what they do and exposing truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Case in point, Shasta Leonard, Red Smith. I'm looking at this Trans-Pacific Partner, this secret deal, you know, and, you know, they signed it and they said they wouldn't sign it. But the Congress agreed to give fast-track TPA, you know, to Obama. And this is our congressman voted for it. And, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's not one of us. He's one of them. And so we keep getting this thing. All we do is bash him. But time after time after time, we see this crappy stuff that's just designed to pander to his constituency. While in the meantime, he's giving us up to the enemy. So, you know, we probably beat that like a dead horse, but I think it needs to be beat. What else have we got here?
Well, I believe we have a car on the line.
I don't think the horse is dead. That sucker's still twitching. Give it a couple more.
Whack it again.
We have Peter from Reading on the line. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hey,
listen,
Pete.
I thank you for your show. You brighten up my day for me, you know. I don't think I need to say everybody that knows me knows where I'm coming from. I'm better than most. I'm more American than most Americans. But I thank you guys and thank guys like Billy Bob and all these guys that call in. I've been watching these bloody helicopters fly over me. They fly right over me during the day, two and three of them at a time. You can hear them coming from miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't know what was going on till today. I knew something was going on because they're all black, no signs. And they're not very high. They're probably only about 1,000 feet up. And I found out this morning I find it very intimidating. I mean, I got nothing to hide or lose I got plenty to lose, but, you know, I got nothing to hide and I make no apologies for my beliefs in anything. But listen, with this gentleman, I've been meaning to ask a question for a long, long time and this gentleman on the radio you have hopefully can answer it. Bearing in mind it was Clint Eastwood that said, Obama has been the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetrated on the American people. He said that will go down in the history books. So I've been asking somebody, when Obama is out, and hopefully Trump or Cruz is in, can they open up Obama's records that he sealed on the first day in office and he's going to have the most transparent presidency in the United States history?
I believe the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my question to you, Peter, is is, do you think the powers to be behind Barack Obama can afford to have Barack Obama out of office and not shielded by the protection of the executive branch and open to exposure and forced to testify? Do you think this president would fold under questioning?
You know what? I think this president and the people behind him is so evil. I think in the United Nations is involved in this somewhere. I think that Obama would love to rule the United Nations. And I hope someone like Trump or Cruz, one of the first things he does is kick the United Nations outside of America. And I hope there's someone strong enough in the Justice Department to bring back a bit of bloody law in this country. I mean, it's a riot, you know. I mean, when I was down in South America and Africa and all these places I've been, and I'm a history buff, I love history with a passion, and nobody learns from it, particularly us Americans. Well, nobody. Australians aren't any different. And I used to think, why do people put up with this crap? And here we are, we're putting up with it too.
Yep.
You know, I used to walk around South America, and everyone's got guns, all the police and everybody's got guns, every Africa, everywhere you go. And now we're no bloody different. Now they're flying 1,000 feet above us with these intimidating, loud, bloody, helicopters. And then I find out they're all collecting in Bernie, and they're out after guys like you and me and guys that call in on your radio show.
Yep. Well, there's been numerous sightings of Blackhawks, AH-64 Apache gunships. I have photographs of drones that are based at the Helitac base outside of Yreka, pictures of FEMA incidents vans that are staged in Siskiyou County. There's a growing military presence in Harney County outside of Burns.
Yeah, you don't think something's up, do you?
No, listen, do you know what? I don't know whether I answered your question properly, but I feel very strongly... I just feel there is no justice in America anymore. I always used to say America is a country of laws. That's what makes America different than the rest of the world.
Yep.
The rest of the world is run by feelings and corruption and everything else, but America is run by laws. Now all the laws being enforced by Americans are all bloody corrupt and corrupt, run by corrupt people. I mean, it's very disheartening when you lose faith in the justice system. The next thing is Minutemen and anarchy and God knows what where it all lead to.
Yeah, I understand, Peter, and I'm in agreement with you. It's just crazy, but we got to get it back, and that's what we're doing. We're working at getting it back.
Well, listen, I want to emphasize that I love listening to you guys and other people and on the radio, and you really made my Sunday morning. I enjoy working outside listening to you because I can assure you people like you would not exist even in a country like Australia. They'd shut you down.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Peter. All right, very good.
God bless you. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks. At least we have a freedom of – we still have the First Amendment, freedom of speech for now.
At the moment.
Do we have to go to a break yet? Maybe we should go to a break. Okay. And I want to come back and play this Michigan officials absent at Flint water crisis hearing. It's a clip I sent you. So maybe let's go to the break, come back, and then we'll play
this
clip.
If you want to call in after that, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
There's an old Australian stockman lying dying. And he gets himself up onto one elbow and he turns to his mates who are gathered round and he says, "Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed. They're a dangerous breed, mate, so watch me wallabies feed all together now. Tiny kangaroo down, sport, tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, sport, tiny kangaroo down."
Looking for a perfect Valentine's Day weekend? Look no further than Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a delectable meal for you and your loved one that includes steak and lobster, chocolate-dipped strawberry champagne appetizers, and more. This special dinner is offered February 12th, 13th, and 14th and includes music and dancing to Linda Bott on the 13th and Mark McAbee on February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Also ask about the sweetheart package at the hotel that includes champagne, $50 food vouchers, and more surprises. Call Wind River Resort for reservations, 243-3377, Wind River Resort and Casino.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Carl Lindabot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome the Record Searchlight managing editor Carol Ferguson and her guest as we talk about what's happening with the Record Searchlight, what's the future for print media, and what are their big stories they're working on. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. It's time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
We're back.
Come taste the wine.
Come taste the wine. That's right.
Come blow your horn, start celebrating.
It's a cabaret.
This way your table's waiting. Watch
for some knitting. Some anyway, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, or go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And you wanted to add a little bit about this Kanab?
Somebody had asked for clarification on the incident in Kanab. There wasn't an incident in Kanab. It's where Lavoie Finicum was born. He was laid to rest at the Mormon temple there. His funeral was attended by thousands upon thousands of people, and you know, just some of the insight to the people that were there, and some of the overwhelming feelings of the people at Lavoie's funeral, and some of their political and church and familial ties. There's a storm coming.
Yep. I think the storm's already here. We've just gone through the eye, and now we're starting to come out to the other side. So with that, go ahead and play that clip, Bob. Let's cue this up. This is about this clip is about Michigan officials absent at the Flint water crisis hearing. And this is kind of illustrates the who we're dealing with in government. You know, this is the EPA. These are the guys that are supposed to be our, you know, helping with the clean water. You know, it's like, really? But go ahead, Bob. Let's hear what these have to say. This is a congressional hearing.
A bombshell on Capitol Hill. The Flint mother at the heart of the water crisis testifying that the state of Michigan tried to silence an EPA whistleblower. Lee Ann Walters told the House Oversight Committee that an official with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality bragged to her that a leaked memo from an EPA researcher was being, quote, handled, telling her
that his report was flawed and that there would be no final report.
That report was written by Miguel Del Toro, the EPA researcher who tested the water in Walter's home in early 2015. The resulting memo was leaked in June, showing the water in her home was more than twice the level of hazardous waste. The EPA sat on this memo for months, and now we're learning through Walter's testimony that the state tried to suppress it too.
This was the ultimate betrayal for the citizens.
CNN has reached out to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality for comment.
Why would they be paying for water that they cannot even use that is poisoning them? That's not American.
Today's often heated hearing was about the people who were not there as much as it was about the people who were there. Chairman Chaffetz kicked off today's session with strong words for Flint's former emergency manager Darnell Early, who declined to testify.
We're calling on the U.S. Marshals to hunt him down and give him that subpoena.
Early is not the only person the committee wants to hear from. Democrats have urged leadership to invite Michigan Governor Rick Snyder to testify, too.
Can anybody tell me why the governor of Michigan is not here today? Because he's hiding. That's what's happening.
And those who did show up were chastised for being less than forthcoming. The chairman of the committee pushing to know why the EPA waited months to act on that Del Toro memo.
Why wasn't that made public?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think that
You can't come to a hearing before Congress and be in charge of water quality for the EPA and not know the answer to that question.
As the Oversight Committee continues to pursue answers to questions that have plagued Flint residents for almost 2 years, one glaring truth came out of today's hearing.
We cannot guarantee at this point in time the water is safe to drink.
Duh. And I just love Elijah Cummings being so, he's so overwrought, he's so incensed about, really? Then why don't you cut the funding to the EPA, you piece of garbage?
I love their answers for everything. I don't know the answer to that question.
Dilbert did it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, the lead toxicity is so high. Well, you know, the guys there and live in Detroit, the guys that are in charge of everything, they can't even remember. The lead toxicity is so high that they're starting to, you know, it's affecting their brain. They forgot how to get to the place to show up for the subpoena in the hearing because they're so screwed up. And you know, what? I mean, you got the criminals monitoring the criminals.
Yes. This is the same EPA that just got done poisoning an entire ecosystem and river in Colorado.
Yep.
And this is the same EPA that our congressman funded last year, voting for the Cromnibus bill. Why don't they stop funding these guys?
Why are these people still making policy? Why are these people having anything to do with anything?
Yeah, why do we have them? Why do we have the agency to begin with?
Actively know that they're poisoning an entire city of people and collaborate to keep that hidden from them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. You're poisoning American citizens and hiding that fact. And we still sit by passively and follow by these people's regulations and laws.
And keep funding
so
them. And let's just keep giving them money.
Enrich themselves?
Yeah, let's just keep giving them money.
Yeah, we keep supporting them. No problem. How much do you want this month?
Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, we've got a gas well leak that's critical. Methane apparently erupting in multiple sites. I don't know. Did you hear about this on the news? I didn't hear about this on the news.
I heard. I think it was the internet.
I didn't hear this on O'Reilly. I don't think Megyn Kelly talked about it.
It was in our local paper, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can smoke cigarettes in East LA right now.
Yeah, they're kind of this comes from the website of SOTT.net, Sign of the Times, Earth Changes, blah blah blah. Okay. It says a catastrophic disaster is now taking place outside of Los Angeles, endangering hundreds of thousands of people. Officials say they have entirely lost control of the entire gas field, meaning explosive methane gas is now leaking in many places. Workers at the scene of the Porter Ranch gas field in Aliso Canyon say some of the leaks are so loud the hissing can be heard a half mile away. If this continues...
Oops.
Multiple massive explosions are very likely to take place once the methane comes into contact with a pilot lighter, a stove, or a water heater. It could set off rolling explosions a few hundred feet in the air, knocking down houses and buildings nearby as it goes. Worse, the toxic benzene is now also confirmed to be coming out of the ground, entering the atmosphere in such large quantities that people can be killed merely from walking through it. Benzene can be absorbed through the skin. Once a sufficient amount is entered the body, there is no treatment or cure. All a person can do is wait to die. Okay, so I guess this just isn't important enough to make the local news. And
the people ahead of that must be with the people that were ahead of the lead water in Michigan. They're all...
Here's the point. Can you trust your government or the media to take care of you at any level? At any freaking level, whether it's the river out there, the Animas River, whether it's Detroit, you know, whether it's Los Angeles, whether it's Fukushima telling
they
us about the radio.
They don't care.
These people are brain dead, self-serving, evil SOBs at most levels, with a few exceptions. But let's talk about the vagina monologues, because that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
What difference at this point does it make?
There you go, Hillary. Yeah, what difference does it make that I've circumvented the rule of law and compromised all of our secrets and security for a nation, you know, to keep from foreign invasion, hackers, whatever, national security?
Well, that's why I'm at the point of noncompliance.
Yeah, let's just keep paying them. Let's just keep funding them, Mr. Congressman. It's all right. Just keep voting for it. In the meantime, this comes from the Organic Prepper. Are these companies growing, this is about companies that are growing nuts in California. Not the nuts that are growing down in the areas of political discourse, but these are, you know, like walnuts or pecans or whatever it is. So, are these companies growing produce with oil industry wastewater? That's the title of it. You can go to the organicprepper.ca. Some commercial farms in California came up with their own solution to the drought. It's not pretty. They decided to use recycled oil industrial wastewater to grow their produce. Chevron Oil treats 20 million gallons of wastewater per day, sells it to the farmers, who then in turn use it to water 45,000 acres of crops in one of the country's primary produce growing areas. Now, I don't know if this is a bad thing or not, but pretty sure that, you know, we, you might, oh, and gee, who's in charge of this stuff has been, you know, Mark Smith, a scientist who has been, took samples for water defense, has been one of the consultants for the EPA on more than 50 oil spills. Are you seeing a freaking pattern here? Is the EPA involved in all this stupid crap?
It's gangrene. That's what it is. It's from the political to the regulatory level, it is a global cabal to enrich themselves off of green policy, and they don't care who they kill or harm with it.
No, they don't.
Yeah, because if we're all dead, who knows whether the planet's green or not? Okay, the samples that Smith collected contain acetone, methylene, chloride, solvents used to degrease equipment. I guess that won't affect our crops and what you're eating, will it?
Set that greasy layer on top of my orange juice.
That could be it. That's that, they usually call that scum, but now you can light it on fire, burn it off, just like the methane gas in L.A., and then it's all safe to drink.
I knew that wasn't pulp.
You won't have to worry about it if you just light your cigarette or something. It'll all be okay. It'll be okay. Your orange juice will be fine.
Just mix it with vodka.
And then does anybody wonder why organic foods are starting to take off? And even that, I don't trust, depending on who's saying they're organic. You know, by the way, our congressman.
Well, that's why we have to kill the labeling on things like that.
You knew exactly where I was going. And our congressman voted not to have any labels required from any produce from any countries outside the United States. And so let's just, who cares what we're consuming? Let's just eat some if the pistachios are green and they glow in the dark.
Don't worry.
It's okay.
Now, and with that, I believe we have a caller on the line. Dick from Reading.
Hello there.
Hello, Mr.
Good morning,
Wilkinson.
Mr. Wilkinson.
The Jefferson Air Force.
I was born December 31. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in December 41, I was 10 years old. And I remember how it was, but everybody was really patriotic during that war. But also, I really study anything that has to do with Nazi Germany and the war World War II, because I kind of lived through it as a young boy. Anyway, the rise of Adolf Hitler and what's happening in this country is almost the same thing. And lately, all of the civil service departments of the government are being armed and are provided with personnel carriers and equipment so they can have a SWAT teams. And I'm really concerned. It's not like when I grew up in grammar school, I was in the 40s, and in the 50s I was in high school. And it's everything has changed in the last few years, and it's really worrisome about the power that the government has with these civilian armies that they're not military, but they're civilian armies that can be a threat to the civilians.
Well, they're very militarized, that's for sure. I mean, why does a person working for the Forest Service need to be have police powers? Why does a person working for the Department of Fish and Game have to have police powers? You know, why do all these guys have police powers? That was not enumerated and given to the federal government or the state government to have police powers in these different agencies.
They're not even operating on federal land.
And another topic, Fran and I, we moved to Colorado in 1980, and out there we both joined the National Rifle Association, NRA, and I was actually a registered Democrat because my father was when I registered, and to me, during the 50s, 60s, 70s, I actually didn't see much difference in either party, but it's really been changing lately, and I started reading the political page in the National Rifle magazine, and I didn't know the Democrats are trying to disarm us, and most of that started happening after the JFK was assassinated, and they started putting in these new gun laws, and now there is a really effort for the federal government to totally disarm us, and that I think that's going to cause a lot of trouble, especially when they want to register guns. That's how Adolf Hitler got all the guns. Everybody registered them, and then they had a list of all of them. They just gathered them up. And I don't know what's going to happen. In California, they're talking about already registering assault weapons or guns that are not really assault weapons, but they have detachable magazines, center fire rifles. And after that, it's going to be semi-automatic handguns, and next it's going to be rifles with scopes on it, and next it's going to be shotguns, semi-automatic shotguns, one after another. Pretty soon, all the guns will be registered, and then all of a sudden, they're too dangerous, and we're going to have to gather them all up, and I can see that it's coming, just like Nazi Germany.
Yeah,
well,
I agree.
Dick, you're one of those guys. You're one of those conspiracy guys, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. You're one of those conspiracy theorists, right? I always tell everybody, well, if they're facts, they're not really theories. So I'm not a conspiratorial theory guy. I'm a conspiratorial fact guy. And you're right. I mean, how much evidence does it take before you start realizing, that's like this last segment. Oh, we can trust our government, right? From the EPA all the way up to the White House, right? These guys got our best interest in mind, right?
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, it's time to come for time has come for 51. Get out there and help with the state of Jefferson.
Very
well,
good.
Well, thanks for calling in, Dick.
Well, that's how many
okay,
people.
Well, I think you had a Peter on later. So it's time for a Dick next.
Get out of here, Dick.
Have a great
but
day. That's
how many people know or remember that the NRA was founded at the end of the Civil War to get arms into the hand of free slaves so that they could protect themselves from the newest democratic organization known as the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
That's how the NRA started.
Well,
racist organization that it is.
Anytime you take whatever our government's telling us at face value and think, oh, it's for the good and they're not going to do anything else and they're not going to go any further.
Oh, it's just like stupid acts. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever they say that it is, it's exactly the opposite. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's like this LaMalfa, the Terror Finance Transparency Act. Are you kidding me? So we're going to give money to Iran who we know is funding. In fact, by definition, they are a terrorist group and who's funding terrorist group. But we're going to call it the Terror Financing Transparency Act. Transparent to
well,
who?
If we really had a president, we wouldn't be having this conversation well, yeah, because that's his job.
How much more transparent does Iran have to be?
Yeah.
Death to America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, there is no signed deal.
You Magoo mother. I mean, really.
Getting back, I got to finish the story out here because this is a public service about the list of companies whose farms receive oil industry wastewater. You might kind of want to stay away from these companies until we figure out what's going on because no tests are being done. So as it turns out, those little cutie halo oranges aren't really very angelic.
I love those things, too. That's...
Well,
yeah.
You could glow. You could still eat them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if
you
like
glow,
I like the taste of a citrus and acetone.
Yeah.
in my
acetone salad. Orange and a glow in the dark Vietnamese shrimp. Mm-mm-mm.
Perfect.
There you
That's
go.
Good stuff.
Wrap them up in some sprouts, and man, you got a real organic meal. So anyway, the ones to avoid are Sunview. Those are table grapes, raisins, persimmons, and prune plums. Wonderful citrus. Those would be halos and cuties. This company also owns Fiji Water, by the way. sorry. Halos. They should be glows or something. You know, glows and cuties. POM Wonderful. The world's largest pistachio and almond growing operation. That's POM Wonderful. Trincero Family Estates. That's wine. And then B-Sweet Citrus, mandarin oranges and lemons. So I would be a little cautious of those companies because they're in league with the devil, if you ask me, because when you are taking all of these chemicals out of these water that's being coming from, oh, our friends over there at Chevron, who definitely have our best interest in mind, you might want to be a little cautious because, I don't know, maybe these guys aren't taking care of us.
Yeah.
So, with that, one of my last articles here is Bernie, and this comes from the Front Page Mag. That's its frontpagemag.com. Inside every liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out is their tagline, their motto. Bernie Sanders beats Hillary in a lying contest.
That's hard.
I know.
That is an accomplishment.
You know, the angry old leftist future of the Democrats. So we've got Bernie Sanders, you know. So I have to work on my Bernie Sanders. But, I guess it was back and forth, NBC's Chuck Todd, who was born for Archie Bunker to call him a meathead. The MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, with those giant fake eyelashes, made it impossible to wear her trademark glasses, moderated a debate that had no reason for existing because none of the participants had developed a new idea since 1970.
Americans, what difference at this point does it make?
You know, this guy, you know, he's talking about the banks. You know, so think about this. The one thing that's valid in his conversation is the Fed and the banks. And those guys need to be either put out of business or at the very least audited to see what they're doing. So who do they line that up with? The most nut job guy in the world. Do you think they're trying to discredit the argument? Or is he just such a nut job that he just discredits the argument on his own? But because his solution is bigger, more government, redistribution of the wealth, communism, which is, oh, gee, isn't that one of the platforms, the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto, central bank? So, in other words, I will say that we don't want a big central bank, but we want every other platform of the Communist Manifesto because that will solve the problem if we just get the guys in power on the bank that are good guys, like, you know, all the Democrats.
Yeah. They'll be fine once they make the post office a bank.
That'll be good.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That will be good.
Yeah, wouldn't it'll solve all the problems.
Slide your ATM card.
Wouldn't it be better than redistributing the wealth just to enable the means for everyone to become wealthy?
I think that they should just do like Venezuela. They got 747s coming in with piles of paper money, and you just spread that around, and everybody's taken care of now. Everybody, just Sweden's going to do it. They're talking about it. $2,500 a month apiece. You get paid from the government, and that's really going to incentivize the work program. You
that's
know?
Another one that gets me is the Scandinavian countries. What happened to the Vikings? Where did they go wrong?
They're in Minnesota, aren't they?
I'm confused by that. Yeah. What happened to the Scandinavian countries? They never used to be like that.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
Well, we never used to be like we are.
Yeah, that's true, too, I guess.
Unfortunately.
And in the meantime, I guess.
I mean, is there something that I am missing? Is there a finite cap on wealth? Like, there's a like limited amount of wealth in the world, and then one day it's all gone? I don't think there is.
Wealth is production, pure and simple.
Yeah.
If you are not producing food, manufacturing widgets, putting stuff out in the market for people to consume and buy, then you don't have any wealth. If people don't build houses, if people don't work, if people don't produce, there is no wealth. So I don't care how much money you spread around Venezuela or Sweden. If everybody's sitting around with their hands out on the dole doing nothing, I'm pretty sure their economy is going to tank. And Putin has it right, which is just amazing to me that the head of Russia gets it right, and the president of America is so far out in la-la land that you can't even reel him in because he's at the end of the kite string, and there's a big gust blowing in, and he's going to get caught in the wires. And hopefully
hopefully the electricity's on.
Yeah. We got a minute. So with that... I don't know where we are.
We're almost at the end of the hour. We're almost done for the day.
We didn't know where to start. We don't know where to end.
Yeah, it's.
Well,
there you have it. Yeah. All I can say is, I guess when the music comes on, what I was going to say, but we want to thank everybody and all the callers for calling in, and we try to provide a service here so that but I don't know. Maybe we're just yellow journalisms. journalists, I mean.
You like that one, do you?
Well, I think yellow journalism is a very apt accolade, but not for us, for the other side. And not that they are creating an agenda, but they are cowardly and afraid to report the truth. Therefore, I find them very yellow in their journalism. So I think it's an apt description for mainstream media. Is they're as yellow as can be.
If they were Jewish, would they be schmuck journalists?
Yes.
Schmucks.
Yeah. Schmucks. See, you could say putts, but that would just mean they're incompetent. They're competent, but they do it on purpose.
Schmeckle?
So they're schmucks.
Schmeckle journalists?
They might even fall into the category of schmeels.
Schmeels? Schmeckles.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to say it once again, and it's time to go. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, and we like to tell the truth.
And get out into your local tea party at 6 p.m. this Monday night. This has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Korea's rocket launch and pledging to expeditiously adopt a new resolution with significant new sanctions. The statement was approved by all 15 council members at an emergency meeting today. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Samantha Power says North Korea is continuing to escalate tensions worldwide with their actions.
North Korea's launched yesterday using proscribed ballistic missile technology undermines regional stability and violates the DPRK's obligations under four separate Security Council resolutions.
And Power says the Security Council looking at a number of measures against North Korea for their rocket launch.
Because of the DPRK's decisions and actions, we will ensure that the Security Council imposes serious consequences.
The earthquake that toppled a residential building in Taiwan, now blamed for it.